unto the God of Israel through her mother-in-law Naomi. Amen. We've seen how God guided Ruth to glean. When I say the word glean, it's a word they use. It's meaning that after the reapers, when I was back in Guyana, we plant rice. We work in a rice field, and we use a machine. It's a huge machine to reap this rice. It's called combine. And this equipment, this machine, it does everything. It binds the rice off, it gets the rice, it does everything. So, it throws the rice at the back, in the bag, rice bag, like, 100 pounds or something. A huge bag. And we go and we pick the bag up on a trailer. Like, we go follow the machine. But on the floor, you can see there is a lot of paddy, like rice paddy on the ground. That didn't got caught in the machine or in the bag. They were waste, and the board go and eat them. And so you call the boards go, and the boards glean. So the boards go in the back, and they start getting the rice, and they eat the paddy. So here we can see the word glean. And Boaz, he had a field of grains, and he hired this woman, Ruth, and she went, and that was her job. She was going after the reapers, after the grains left on the ground. She was picking them, maybe with her hands, and putting them in a bag or something. And that was her job. It was hard. It wasn't easy. It was because in the sun and the cold and her health. But God was with her. Amen. And at the same time, she was learning. She was learning as she gleaned. Amen. We've seen how God opened doors for Boaz. Amen. To marry Ruth. So in today's world, we can see that God opens door unknowingly to us. Who out of a job here? Who needs something here, especially the moms? Who would like to see their children or their grandchildren, be a blessing that they want to see in this life? All these things are things that's going through in our life that God is in control of. Amen? And the children, I heard they asked a question there. What makes your mom most happy? What makes your mom most happy? If we want to see the kids, they want to see their mom happy. They don't want to see their mom sad and heartbroken and these things, because they just feel broken too. Amen. So I didn't get the answer though, but I think the answer was an awesome answer. What makes your mom most happy? Amen. In verse 14, the woman of Bethlehem said to Naomi, "Blessed be the Lord." And the Lord here is in bold letters, amen? Uppercase, L-O-R-D. So, blessed be the Lord. Maybe they shout. Maybe all of them shout in a song of joy. Who has not left you this day without close relative or the word kinsman? We see in the King James Version, it says kinsman. That's what the word means. Married to somebody, of having relative or in a marriage, through a marriage, or at least it's like a certificate of making family. You want to make a family, fine. But what we have to do first, we have to get married. We have to get married and join, and then we get a family. Amen? So that was her settings. Now as she was gleaning, she was learning, and she was getting closer, and she was getting to know how Obed, his food, how he eat, what time he wakes up, how he go to work. She was understanding his whereabouts, and she got to learn, and she got to know. Amen. And so Obed the child born to Ruth and Obed became not only the heir of Elimelech. That's Ruth, Naomi's husband. Amen. After what's his name? Elimelech. After he left Israel, there was a famine, and he left. So, and then he go and he die in Moab, in the land of the Gentiles. Amen. And so Obed is now like a son. He's gonna raise Elimelech estate, and also a kinsman redeemer. Amen. Boaz. When this boy grew up, he would be a security for Naomi. As we see in verse 15, in her old age, he would nourish her. He would care for her. Amen. Notice the high praise that the women, that they give. In verse 15, the woman told Naomi that her granddaughter-in-law, who loved her, was better than seven sons. You know, seven is a godly number, and in the Jewish custom, when a woman have seven sons, it's a real blessing. They celebrate and they conquer the family as a real blessing. They look upon them and it's a godly number. This was about the highest compliment that a woman could get. You know, when they say that, blessed, you know. So, Naomi, daughter-in-law, is like a real blessing to her in her life. So now she starts feel happy. Let's look, jump a little more. I'm looking at time. Anyhow, let's jump a little bit ahead. Now, the child name, the child name was a little unusual when they said that, when they told her that, Naomi got a child, Naomi has a son, right? Was not her son, was Ruth's son, but in those days, here the son could be like grandson, or that's how they call it when a son is born in a family to an older woman, she called him her son, so he's my son, but it could be her daughter or son, but that's how they have it in the Jewish custom. Amen. And Obed, by the way, means servant. That's the name of Obed. And the name probably refers to the fact that Obed would serve Naomi in her old age. Because that's what the Bible says. Amen? Okay. Now, let's move to children. Let's move to children. Children are a gift. Amen? Children are a gift from the Lord. In Psalms 127:3 says, "Behold, children are a heritage." Amen. Children are a gift from the Lord. The fruit of the womb is a gift from the Lord. Here is the truth taught in Luke chapter 4, in verse 13. So Obed took Ruth, and she became his wife. And when he went into her, the Lord gave her conception and bore a son. The Lord gave. Amen. The Lord gave her. This Bible says the Lord gave her. Amen. Remember when Ruth, they spent about 10 years in Moab, in the Gentile world. And 10 years she was barren. She couldn't get a baby. She couldn't get a child. Amen. And her husband died. But now God gave her. Amen? We could see in verse 13. In this case, it's quite obvious that God is in control and Obed was a gift from the Lord. But at the same time, the truth is, in the conception, the birth of every of us all, amen, you are a gift. Everyone here are a gift from the Lord, amen? So, that was true in the Bible days and also here today, amen? It's also true. It's something we can go think from, get away from. Not only in case such as Ruth and Hannah, but every child are a gift from the Lord, amen? Because children are a gift from the Lord, you know, we just can't do whatever we want to do with them, or you know, like some parents, they use their children to get some other things, you know, and because they don't want to face it. You know, those things are bad. Those things are, you know, it's going to go unpunished, amen, for parents, because we know that we know better. We have to do the right thing, amen. No child is a gift from the Lord, and we should, you know, like, do anything we want. The Lord is, we should thank the Lord for these gifts. Whenever God gives us something, we have to thank the Lord for it, amen, because it's not something that we could do on our own. Remember God, remember the Lord, she was barren for 10 years, and then finally she get a child, amen, and a special child too, amen. Okay, wrap up time. The Lord determines whether we have children or not. And every child is a gift. Absolutely unique children are a gift from the Lord. Amen. So, we can see in chapter 1 of Ruth, that Ruth was disturbed. Let's go to verse 20. Verse 20 of chapter 1, it says, and she counted her bitter experience. But she said to them, do not, the people were happy. They saw she was coming back in the country from so many years. Oh, isn't that Ruth?
Naomi.
Isn't that Naomi? And everybody go and they greet her and say, welcome back. We're glad to have you. And then she heard, they said, Naomi. She says, don't call me Naomi. Amen? Let's hear what she says in verse 20 and chapter 1, verse 20 and verse 22. Do not call me Naomi. Call me Mara. For the Almighty has dwelt very bitterly with me. Verse 21. I went out full, her husband, her sons, and the Lord had brought me home again empty. Why do you call me Naomi? Since the Lord has testified against me, and the Almighty has afflicted me. So she feel bad. She was upset. She was down. She was disappointed, and she was heartbroken. Amen. So she was like, she was sorry. She was sad, and she was mourning for all her. She was thinking, you know, mourn all her life. Amen. Now look at Naomi in chapter 4. Her mourning has turned into joy. She has become a proud, happy grandmother and nurse of Obed. Amen. Verse 16. Then Naomi took the child and laid him in her bosom and became a nurse to him. Furthermore, Obed was her security in about a year. It was a short time, you know. Mourning had been turned to joy. The Lord can do the same today. Amen. The Lord God can turn your mourning. I know some of us may be going through some times, some mourning, some sad times here right now. You know, so you know, like especially when you lost a loved one. You know, just the other day, you know, I lost a brother-in-law maybe 2 weeks ago. And my sister, she left with a young baby, 4 months old. So this morning, you know, I can't like get to say happy Mother's Day to her. You know, so maybe later I do that. As the day grows old, I get a little more encouragement to say happy Mother's Day to her. Amen? Maybe some of you here are, you know, I don't know if any one of us are, we have widows here. You know, these things we go through in life. Amen? And life doesn't have the joy that we had at one time in our life, right? But God can do wonders in your life. He can turn your mourning into joy, especially for the young mothers and the young children, the young girls. You may be going through some things, some questions that you cannot find an answer for it. And you feel depressed, you feel discouraged, you feel heartbroken. But God is doing His will and His work. It's mourning for now. But let's say He's going to turn your mourning into joy. Have faith in the Lord and believe. Amen? I believe this is a practical lesson for us all here. We would wish to live happily ever after. We would wish to have the best ride. We would wish to have a good home. And all of this is good. It's good to have all of this here. Amen? But our relationship to Christ is far more important. Amen? Becoming Christian and knowing the Lord Jesus and knowing to pray and knowing to serve Him, knowing to love your enemy, knowing to love your neighbors. You know, these things are more precious than owning a big ride and a good house and fancy clothes and, you know, and have a good job and all these things. It's good to have those things. I want a good job. I have a decent job. You know, I have my life, and I just pray to love the Lord and love my enemies, my neighbors, my friends more each day. Amen? In closing, we can all have the benefits of God as long as we trust Him. He can turn your mourning into joy. Amen? Over to us.
All right, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. We're going to have a Pastor Garden Hill Minister, and then we'll just wrap up, and that's it. Praise the Lord. So, ladies, you don't have to be here all day, right? It's a period of time. All right, let's pray this time. Father, we praise You and thank You in the name of Jesus for Your goodness, Your love, and Your mercy. You see from the story of Ruth, Lord, Naomi went out full. She lost her husband. She lost her children. But her daughter-in-law, the one that came back with her, Ruth, Lord. We praise You and thank You that through Ruth, she, I believe, was blessed.
Amen.
And because she was steadfast, Lord, and because of Your goodness, Lord, she, I believe, was helped. So, Lord, I pray You're going to help those who have lost loved ones, and they look to You, Lord. In Jesus' name, Lord, help every mother we pray in a special way. Ruth, her child, David, is a descendant of Ruth. That's the one who had lost her husband, a widow. God could take us and use us in different situations. Bless us as we wait in Your presence. In Jesus' name, amen. So you can kindly have a seat. All right, praise the Lord. Are we going to have Pastor Gordon? He's going to come, and he's going to give us 20 minutes. Then I'll wrap up, and that's it. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. 20 minutes may be a marathon today, I hope. God is a good God.
Hallelujah.
Lift your hands and praise Him. It's an act of submission. Happy Mother's Day to all mothers in the house. Potential mothers, I love them. They have the ability. Once you name woman and you carry that womb, you have the potential to become. Yes, you have that potential. Grandmothers in the house?
Amen.
Great grandmothers in the house?
Amen.
Wow! Wonderful. Wonderful. The word excellence, it says the quality of being outstanding or extremely good. So a high bar is set today. Woman of excellence. Praise God. We just want to honor you. We just want to take time to acknowledge you. To show respect. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Praise the wonderful name of the Lord. So as I pondered on what I was about to, what to say, as I mused, I was struck, like Pastor, he said he had some times of procrastinating. And so for me, I'm opening the books, my mind's eye, to see what I can say to mothers of excellence. Even before the team came, my mind was directed, thank God, to Proverbs chapter 31. There's hope in this passage here. Amen. My mind was directed to it. And it says here, Proverbs chapter 31, it concludes the book of Proverbs. Can I have some light here?
Is the one behind?
I'm going to blame something or someone. Great, thank you so much. Yes, so this book has it ended with like two poems. One to Proverbs 31:1-9. It speaks about Lemuel, this king, giving oracle, like a burden he's feeling. And this word oracle was mostly sent to aligned with the prophets. So he said, this like this burden, like this, these instructions from this mom, this wise woman to him. And later he began to reveal about the woman herself, this excellent woman from between 10 to 31. So the original passage of this text says, like, the experience of this mom to this young son. It is said Lemuel, from the ancient Hebrew, they said he is synonymous with Solomon. But I'm saying, if he is synonymous with Solomon, the woman that gave birth to him was Bathsheba. You remember? All
right.
When David saw Bathsheba having a bat on the roof of where she lived. It was the time of war when the king should be out to war, but David was at home, rolled up, rocking back and relaxing, and he saw Bathsheba. So Bathsheba is mostly associated with like a scandal more than like excellence. Are you getting the drift? So my point is, if someone is Lemuel, where did this wisdom, the instructions came from? Well, as I'm quoting from a writer, he says, the Proverbs 31 description of the virtuous woman is one best known in the passage of Scripture. What is often overlooked is the origin of the passage, or the author, which is King Lemuel, who said he learned this wisdom from his mother, 31:1. The sayings of Lemuel contain this passage, which his
mother
taught him.
His mother
taught him. I was taught a lot of stuff. My mother was a liberal woman. Free. My father was conservative. So I was raised by a Democrat and a Republican. So the ancient Jewish tradition ID Lemuel as Solomon. And as I said, so it meant that his mother would have been Bathsheba. But Perhaps it is said that she taught him about the ancestor, one of her ancestor, mainly R-U-T-H. Maybe she had given him the advice of how Ruth had lived. Because most of the commentaries or commentators points of view about Ruth, it's like she actually lived a spotless kind of life, like this virtuous woman we're going to talk about in a few minutes. Then Solomon could have penned this proverb within Ruth in his mind as he continued to write, if so be Solomon. After all, the passage is parallel or seems parallel to Ruth's life. All right, since we get over that junction, it says this. The book of Proverbs has a lot to say about women or women. How fitting that the book ends with a picture of a woman, a strong woman, a woman of strong character. Great wisdom, many skills, and great compassion. As you read through this chapter, you cannot help but to notice this is not the typical woman. The notion of a woman retiring or a slavish woman, entirely domestic. You know how they saw women or they categorize women? Oh, she's supposed to be at home just doing such and such and such. No, not this woman. This is a woman of excellence, and she's also a mother. As I read through third one, I saw this woman is a manufacturer. She is an importer. This woman is a relator. She sold and bought land or estate. Continue reading. She is a farmer. She's strong. And she can work with her hands. She's a seamstress. If you see the design and the tapestry and the things she prepared, this ain't no ordinary woman. She's an upholster. She can hit furniture together, pieces of wooden. She's also a merchant. Read Proverbs 10 to 31. So my take on this presentation is not really to talk much about the woman of excellence, but the advice she was giving to the young man. That's my take. The advice from this woman to this young man. So, moms, if you try to measure up yourself with this lady of Proverbs chapter 31, you might be faint-hearted and say, I can't make it of a truth. Because she ain't no ordinary woman. But you can purpose in your heart to emulate the character of this woman. Moms, you can purpose in your heart to the qualities, some of those qualities and abilities to strive to get as near to. Because when you conclude it, this is a perfect kind of woman. Or maybe Solomon is showing us what womanhood should really be like. No woman is perfect. No man is perfect. Amen? So verse 1 says, can I get back verse 1? Of Proverbs? 31:1? We've been taking off. We've got about 5 minutes more, right? Come somebody answer me, no? Amen. Yeah, how are we going to 25 minutes more? All right. Nah. So the saints of Lebanon contain this message, which his mother taught him. Oh, my son. Oh, son of my womb. Oh, son of my vows.
All right.
Trust, the word son appears here. It has some great significance. The son of my womb. We were talking lightly in the before the pre-service of a woman who bore a child and put the child in the dumpster. The prophet Isaiah says in 49:15, can a mother forget the babe at her breast?
All right.
Suckling child? And have no compassion on the child she bore? Or the son of her womb? I can recall the extent my mom would go to comfort me. Because I was at the time a rotten egg.
Alright.
The stuff that I did, I earned the payment for it like immediately. Some people own, they say, the good you live, or the bad you live, lives after you. What is it? Something close to that. Or the evil that men do lives after them. Mine came along with me. Early o'clock. So I recognize. And I would go to my mother. And she would help me despite a wise son makes a glad father. My father's instruction, the conservative, no, I refuse to accept. And when the whip came, I ran to my mother, the liberal. And she would open her heart, her bosom, and says, come, every month I'm going to give you money. Only a mother who bore you for 9 months, she carried me, groaning inside of her, does it? No charge. Remember the song the children sing? When you add it up, it's no charge. I can tell you the extent she went to compromise with me. Got a lot of mothers compromise.
Yeah.
Compromise. I said, Mom, I gotta write my GCE examination. But you know what? I need to buy a football boots. My father has no idea what's happening. Money hard to get. $12 was for a subject. $12? I ain't no money to find. God, daddy working for a dollar something cents for maybe an hour or something like that. It's so much. And mom would say to me, you know what you're doing? I said, well, I'm going to do this. And later on, I could tell you that so-so I did. I could tell him that I failed the subjects that I purchased the boots with. She says, Mom, well, you got to know what you're doing. I said, yeah. And I bought the boots. And they stole the boots. Yeah. Mommy compromised. And she counseled me also. And I was having girlfriend problems. She says, you don't have to be like those people. You got sisters and you have a mother. There are many fishes in the sea. What? Many fishes in the sea? She was speaking to me in Proverbs. I had to, what does she mean with many fishes in the sea? If a girl breaks your heart like the one did to me, oh, none of you ever had a broken heart. Only me. My heart was broken and crushed. And I was angry.
That
is really bad. And mommy says, come on. They got many fishes in the sea. So it means I gotta go and fish. Throw a hook and bait or
fish.
thank God, because I was heading down the road of violence. I was angry with all the women because of one teenage heartbreaking kind of thing. Thank God for advice that mom can give also.
Hallelujah.
So a mother, it's hard for her to forget the babe of her womb or the son. And like Hannah, I perceive this mother had vowed. Remember Hannah was barren? And she went to the temple and she vowed that if the Lord give her a man child, she'd give him unto the Lord. I perceive that this is the same situation this woman was in. And she said, if I have this child, I'll give him over to the Lord. Just like a mother's love for her children, so is the love of God for mothers and for you and I today. Don't miss that point. Like the love of a mom. Remember Jesus was saying, oh Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how he wished he could like just gather them together like a hen gather her chicks. So mothers, in the text of Isaiah, I think it says in the conclusion of that text of Isaiah 49:15, the Lord said, I will not forget you. God says, I will not forget you. I'll take you into Babylon captivity, but I will remember you. Remember Noah in the ark? The Bible says, and the Lord remembered Noah. God doesn't have Alzheimer's. Does he will forget your goodness or his love for you? That's why the Bible says, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. That's the love of God for you tonight, mothers, today. You might be feeling discouraged because you're raising up children. You have situations, circumstances we know not of. But God is on your side. If God be for you, who then can be against you? He says, I know the thoughts I think towards you. Thoughts to do good. Thoughts to prosper you. To do good and not evil. God has you in or on his mind.
Hallelujah.
What is your situation, mom? God is well able. Today I want to just encourage you. Be anxious for nothing, but by everything. By prayers. Come on. You got to sometimes go into that closet. By prayer, supplication, wailing. By prayers and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. Tell your neighbor, casting all cares. Tell your neighbor, casting all cares upon him, for he careth for you. When you feel overwhelmed, the psalmist says, oh, when my heart is overwhelmed, lead me, O Holy Spirit, Ruach HaKodesh, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. We sang, who is the rock?
Jesus.
He's saying, lead me to the solid foundation, to that rock that is higher than I. The psalm writer says, on Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. What is your predicament, mom? What is your situation? Turn your life over to him. Jesus is the answer for the world today.
Hallelujah.
And above him there is no other. He's the way. I'm closing now. So we are at verse 2. So we jump to verse 3. And here, this godly king is addressed by his mother. She says, son, do not give your strength to women.
verse 3 of 31. This is the part that I'm just going to use up to here because. So, what it means, don't give your strength to women. Well, when we were Rastafarians growing up in the 70s, 80s, one of our central team, don't give your strength away. We got to hold our strength so that we can do work, toil the soil, so that we can wait for our African princes to come. So we had it in the forefront of our minds. You see how religion runs kind of parallel in some areas? So she was saying, son, holiness is important. This, your reign as a king, remember Lemuel was a king, so he inherited the kingship. Your reign as a king won holiness. Everybody say holiness.
Holiness
unto God was the hallmark on the high priest's forehead. He says, be ye holy as your Father in heaven is holy. Do not give away your strength to women. One of the errors that the kings did were for multiplying their wives. Kings were not to multiply their wives, and especially to deal with foreign women. This is what caused the downfall of Solomon. Multiplying his wife, 2 Kings 11, 1 to 4. And whilst you're turning there, I was in the interior. I was working for gold. No, yes, in the diamond field in a place called Kurupong. Loaded with diamond. It's the remote part, the northwest of Guyana, along the Essequibo River. So, it's there. Young men, we are there. There's also a community there. And then 12 miles away, we call it the back down, where we go up to the mountains, very high lands. And we spend time there working. So, young men with your biological clock ticking, you know what I mean, right? You don't want to talk to me. I know we'll be hungry and so, but I'm coming down, give me some time. Pastor, my God, preach, he's just going to wrap up. As young men, we're in that part of the remote area. So when we come to the landing, there are beautiful girls. I don't know what they're doing there, but I'm going to tell you about a particular one. Her name was Canada Bess. Everybody's trying to woo Canada Bess. So I tried to make a song for her, hoping that it would entice Canada Bess. Canada Bess, the best in the West. Yes, Canada Bess. And I bent on, I'm rocking Canada Bess. I'm flirting with Canada Bess. This may be God in his providential, he sees before and he knows. Amen. As pretty as Canada Bess is or was, sorry, she was carrying SD. Well, I had my day to display my, so we were. The night came and I was presenting some of my whatever wealth to Canada Bess. And she even told me how she liked I had a fancy army suit. She loved the jacket and the suit. I said, well, you can take this. My heart was being swept away. So we were at this junction where we were about to commit. Yeah. But we landed in, thank God for the animal kingdom. We landed in some ants. They were the hottest fighting ants in history. Are you there? Man, we get some fight for free. It caused you to forget
the desire for lust and for God. But thank God! Hallelujah! When I left that area, friends who went to Canada best and got through, huh?
Well, you know what happened, SD.
Don't give young man look. Preserve yourself. That's what mom is saying. Hold fast your integrity, your character, to the time whereby God is going to.
Well, I mean, you gotta seek, because he that findeth a wife findeth a good thing.
Amen.
But God is not going to disappoint you, even if you gotta wait like me 9 years to get to her. Just wait.
Amen.
Wait.
Amen.
Wait. Finally.
Awesome.
Hola. Let me jump to the next verse. Neither is it for kings to drink wine. Verse 4 and 5. Let's read quickly as we conclude. Second conclusion. It says, it is not for kings to guzzle wine. Rulers should not crave alcohol. This will cloud your vision and impair your judgment. Young men, alcohol, getting yourself under the influence of drugs, these things are going to cloud your vision and your judgment. Now, Proverbs 20:1 says, wine is a mocker, strong drink is raging, whosoever is deceived by it is not wise. So if you're not wise, you're a? Yes. The grapes of the juice was mixed with water. And it was narrowed down to wine. But strong drink is when you had the full thing. The scripture says, be not drunk with wine wherein it excess, but be full of the Spirit. God says, God wants to lead you by his Spirit. Those that are led by the Spirit are the
sons,
the children of God. Young men, particularly, stay in the Spirit. Walk in the Spirit and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Stay in the Spirit. Stay in the Word. Be led by the Spirit of God. That's what mom is saying to you. And she's an excellent woman. We saw some of her qualities and her character. How good she is from 10 to 31. Now from 1 to 9 she's saying, wise up, son. Wise up. Be sober, be level-headed. Use your common sense, in other words. Have self-control, it's a fruit of the Spirit. I'm hard on you, yes, because I don't want you to make the mistakes that I made. Preserve yourself like as a bride is chaste unto you. So the bridegroom should be chaste also unto the bride. And you have this privilege, this opportunity. You must also be compassionate. Verse 8 and 9. This section is filled with concise and solemn warnings against wrongdoing, misconduct, which kings are susceptible to. Immorality, immoral behavior. Kings, you need to watch yourself. You know we are kings and priests unto him. You are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. Peculiar people, be careful of immorality, be careful of badness and evil and corruption, dishonesty. As young men, we're gonna be leaders of tomorrow. I mean, I'm already there, but as young men, you're gonna be leaders of for and tomorrow. Keep yourself clean and unspotted. God is going to do so much for you. Let me say this. Take my mommy telling you. Because she went on the road, the wrong track. As we were, there are two pathways. The winding road that leads to destruction and the straight and narrow way. Listen to your mom's advice. Read this proverb. Read it. Build up yourself on it. And this is going to take you through to eternity. Like Lemuel was able to say what mom says. And what mom did. The Lord bless you.
Amen. Thank you, Pastor John. All right. Let me have to wrap up, right? I guess some of the mothers, your church is planning to take you up to know to dinner or whatever. So I don't want to do that. We'll give something to you to rent. You don't want to eat our own now and then eat when you go carry on. Keep us, keep the one that we give you to the from last. Praise the Lord. So anyhow.